You're now listening to the Pale Horse Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Savatier. Agadat Bereshit. In the chapter 1 of the Torah, we see, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Genesis 6:5. Scriptures say, "For there is a time for every experience, including the doom, for a man's calamity overwhelms him." Another term for death, the time of calamity, the hour of death. "Because the wicked man angered the Lord, saying, the Lord swore that he would not bring a flood upon the world again." So we can do whatever we want. And how do we know that the Lord swore not to bring a flood upon the world? It is said, "For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth." And it is as if he sees the wicked who angers him and wonders why he swore, saying, "What have I done to swear that I will not bring a flood upon the world?" So Isaiah says, "And truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey." And the Lord saw, "For there is no righteous man in the world who prays before him to appease him because of them. And it is evil in his eyes that there is no justice to judge their deeds." The Lord said to the wicked, "You say that I swore not to bring a flood upon the world again. Punishments are in store for scoffers, and blows for the backs of dullards. Blows that are tumultuous and tumultuous. For if I swore not to bring a flood of water, I will bring a flood of fire and brimstone and stones. As it is said, and the Lord caused to rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire. And when the Amorites came upon Joshua, he brought upon them a flood of stones. As it is said, and it came to pass as they fled before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died." Pharaoh, the wicked one, consulted with his advisors and said, "We can find nothing that God has sworn to accept a flood of water, in which we can sink them and they will die. As it says, every son that is born you shall cast into the river." God replied, "You should know that I have the power to judge you in this way, as it is written." Then Pharaoh and his army were destroyed in the Red Sea. When Sisera came to attack Israel, they judged him only with water and fire. As it is said, from heaven the stars fought. From their course they fought against Sisera. And the river Kishon swept them away. Similarly, when Sennacherib came to Jerusalem, God judged him only with a fiery flood, as it says. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Moreover, all generations, if a person sins, they judge him in a manner similar to his sin. If he deserves stoning, he falls from a rooftop, a wall, a tree, an animal, or he is hit by a falling object. If he deserves burning, he falls into fire or boiling water. If he deserves killing, God sends someone to kill him, or he falls upon a knife or a sword, or the knife or sword falls upon him. If he deserves strangulation, he falls into the sea, a river, or a pit. Therefore, Solomon said, to every purpose there is a time and a judgment. For what caused all these judgments is that the evil of man is great upon him. Another interpretation of, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And the scriptures say, the people of wickedness do not understand justice. The people of wickedness are the people of the generation of the flood, who sinned and did not heed the warning of impending punishment. Those who seek God will understand everything, such as Noah and his sons, who heard that Holy One, blessed be He, was bringing a flood to the world and became afraid. Why did Holy One, blessed be He, tell Noah to build the ark? So that they would see him and repent? It was not that God was unable to save Noah through his faith and word, or to raise him to the heavens, as he told him, to make an ark of gopher wood. Rather, the Holy One, blessed be He, said this while making an ark and cutting cedars. And they gathered around him and asked him what he was doing. He replied, God commanded me to make an ark, and explained that he was bringing a flood to the world because they angered him. They heard this and repented, as it is said, the people of the wickedness do not understand justice. Another interpretation. And the Lord saw that the wicked say, the scriptures say, Holy One, blessed be He, does not see when we sin, for He is far away. And there are seven heavens between us and Him. As it is said, clouds screen Him so that He cannot see. And David said of them, they say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob pays no heed. But the Holy One, blessed be He, says to the wicked in the world, who implanted the ear, who fashioned the eye? Does not He who disciplines nations rebuke? He who imparts knowledge to human beings? The Lord knows human plans. They are only a puff of air. And although the law says this about me, that He knows deceitful men, when He sees wrongdoing, will He not take note? I have done this for your sake, as it is said. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The Hashem saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Similarly, it is written in Ecclesiastes 6:1, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, behold what these wicked people do. When I created them, I gave each of them two sons, one good and one bad. They forsake the good son and cling to associate with the bad. And from where do we learn this? As Solomon said in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He directs it wherever He wants. Just as the king can turn water in any direction he wishes, so too can the Holy One, blessed be He, turn the hearts of men in any direction He desires. And as we find that Solomon said, there was a small city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. So too does the Holy One, blessed be He, surround and punish the wicked for their evil deeds. The small city is the body, the few men in it are the organs, and the great king is the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. And the siege works are the great temptations that the evil inclination uses to ensnare man. But there was found in it a poor and wise man. This is the good inclination, the Yetzer Tov, who with his wisdom saves the city. The good inclination guides man towards a good and righteous path of life, and man does not remember that poor man, the good inclination. God said, these wicked people not only did not follow their evil inclination, but they also perverted their good inclination and made it evil, as it is written, and every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Thus says the Lord God, On that day, thoughts will arise in your heart, and you will devise an evil plan. Ezekiel 38:10. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Gog, "Do not say that which you are thinking in your heart, as if I do not know." Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I said to him, "I created 248 organs in man, and all of them act according to their nature as I created them, except for the heart. The heart changes from moment to moment and twists itself. It is crooked and deceitful above all things. The heart is crooked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I am the Lord who searches the heart. I created you, and I know what you are. Do not say that since I created you, I know your heart. Even before I created you, I knew what you would think." This is why David commanded Solomon his son, saying, "And you, Solomon my son, know the God of your father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." Why? Because you see, it is the Lord that searches the hearts and understands every intent and every thought. Rabbi Acha said, "What is the meaning of and understands every intent of the thoughts? Even before a man forms his thoughts in his heart, the Holy One, blessed be He, Elah Shemaiah, knows what he is doing and going to think." This is what he said to Sennacherib. "Because you rage against me and your arrogance has come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back from the way that you came. Even before I created you, I knew what you were going to do, as it is said, and you're going out and you're coming in, I know. When you made yourself stand up from your throne and do repentance, as it says, the matter reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and removed his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. But because you became angry with me, as it is said, because you raged against me, Rabbi Hiya Bar Kahana asked, what caused you to become angry with me? And God replied, because I gave you peace and quiet. If you had been a launderer with a basket in your hand and a hoe on your shoulder and cleaning a pit, you would not have angered me. Therefore it is said, because you became angry, for what reason? And your arrogance has reached my ears. And what should I do? I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, like how one leads a donkey. I did the same with Gog, as it says, I am against you, Gog, and I will turn you back and put hooks into your jaws. God said to him, do not say that I do not know what you were destined to do. Look, I said to you many generations before, as it is said, thus says the Lord God, are you the one of whom I spoke in former days, by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who in those days prophesied for years that I would bring you against them? Do not say years, but rather say generations. Many generations ago, I spoke to Eldad and Medad, who prophesied about you, as it is written. And there remained two men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. What does it mean they prophesied and did not continue? They prophesied and said, after Gog and Magog, there will be no more exile or servitude. Many generations before you, they prophesied about you. And not only that, but Ezekiel also prophesied about what you are planning in your heart, as it is written. Thus says the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Therefore it is said, scoffers set a snare for thyself. I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I search his thoughts. Things will come to your heart. Everything is first considered in the heart. Esau did this, as it is said, and Esau said in his heart, Nebuchadnezzar did this, and you also said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Elishamiah. Haman did this, as it is said, Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. The king of Sodom did this, as it is said, And now, O inhabitants of Yerushalachem, and the men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Likewise, Gog did this, as it is said, Let things come to your heart and put evil schemes into your mind. Everything he thought is in his heart. The Holy One, blessed be he. Every thought in his heart he made public. And what Esau thought, see the later chapters of Genesis. He went to Ishmael and said, This is not the way of the world that I should kill my father Isaac. Rather kill him and let me inherit the entire world. This is what he said with his mouth, but in his heart he was saying, I will kill Jacob after Ishmael kills Isaac. He came to Ishmael, killed him, and said, Why did you kill my father? And I will inherit the entire world for myself. He thought this in his heart. And the Holy One, blessed be he, made it public, as it is said, For I had laid bare Esau's rugged mountains and his dwelling place. The Lord said, I know what you thought in your heart, as it is said, because you said, These two nations and these two lands shall be mine, and we will possess them, whereas the Lord was there. There I looked into your heart and saw what you thought. Likewise, Gog and Magog think in their hearts, as it is said, On that day things will come to your heart, and you will plan an evil plan. The Holy One, blessed be he, makes public what you are thinking, as it is said, And you said, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to those who are at rest, who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And what does he think? This is what Pharaoh, who came against the Israelites, says. He was a fool, speaking of Moses. He left his patron and came to them. Similarly, Amalek, Sisera, anyone who stood against them. The Israelites left it to the Holy One, blessed be he, to deal with them because they were fools. But what can I do? I will go first to the patrons of Israel. And if I kill the Messiah, he will raise up other messiahs. But the judgment is upon the Lord, as it says, Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Edom, Ishmael, Gibal, Ammon, and Assyria. All conspired against the Almighty, as it is written. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. And what do? They stand on their feet and look up at the Almighty, saying, Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. What is the name of Israel? They say, Let us wipe it out. As it is written, Blessed is the eternal God of Israel. And what does the Lord do to them from above? He stands on their feet and punishes them. As it is written, And this shall be the plague. He shall stand upon his feet, and his eyes shall consume away in their holes, and his tongue shall consume away in his mouth. Those feet that wanted to stand against me, the plague consumes them while they stand on their feet. Those eyes that look upward, His eyes shall consume away in their holes, and that tongue that spoke against me, his tongue shall consume away in its mouth. And the Lord said to them, At first there was no peace among you. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Now you have made peace with each other to come against me. It is written, for they have consulted together with one consent. Against thee do they make a covenant, the tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asser also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. Selah. All of you have made peace to come against me, so I will also do the same. And you, son of man, shall say to the birds and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and gather. Assemble yourselves and come and gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Just as you did not have peace with each other and made peace to come upon me, so too I call the birds and the animals that did not have peace with each other, and I make peace between them to come upon you. Because you said, and let the name of Israel be remembered any more. Not. Well, your life will end, and they will bury you, and take your name away from the world, as it is said. All the people of my land shall bury them. The day I manifest my glory shall bring renown to them, and they shall make an end. An educated conductor, a song of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Psalms 52:1-2. This is what the scripture said. You will be sheltered from the scourging and the burning tongue. The language of evil is harder to retract than a sword or a knife. For how can one who has a sword in his hand and wants to kill his fellow man, then regrets it, retract his hand, and not kill him? But one who seeks to kill his fellow man with an arrow cannot retract it once it has left his hand. And one who speaks evil about his fellow man, even if he wants to retract it, cannot do so. Why? Just as the evil arrow is likened to the evil of language, as it says, their tongue is a sharpened arrow, deceitful speech in their mouth. So too King Solomon said, all of man's earning is for the sake of his mouth. Even if he dies, there is no atonement for him. Come and learn from Doeg, who even though he died, our sages said, he has no snare in the world to come. As it says, but the soul that sins, it shall die. Therefore, Job said, the language of concealment is in my mouth. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said it refers to Jacob, and Rabbi Samael bar Nachmani said it refers to David. You will redeem my soul in peace from the battle that is upon me. When he fled and came to Ahimelech, and he was hungry, he ate the holy bread, as it says, and the priest gave him the holy bread. And in war by the hand of the sword, when he went down to Goliath and killed him, as it says, and David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, etc. In a smooth tongue you will hide, when Doeg came and spoke evil about him, as it is said that Doeg, the Edomite, and he told, you shall laugh at destruction and famine. I will take care of Ahithophel and have no fear of wild beasts. Saul of Benjamin is compared to a predator, as it is said, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. And God remembered Noah. This is what the scripture says. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. When a person is worthy, you bestow righteousness upon him. You exalt them higher than the mountains, as it is written, your righteousness is like the mountains of God. But when a person sins, you punish and humble them to the depths below, as it is written, your judgments are like the great deep. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says this verse should be read as follows. Your righteousness in accordance with your judgments is like the mountains of God and the great deep. How did the Holy One, blessed be He, measure the great deep? He took a high mountain and placed it upon the great deep. And so too with all the deeps, He subdued them beneath high mountains, so that they would not rise up and flood the entire world. But just as He who set the mountains above them to keep the world from being flooded, so too did He establish righteousness above judgment, so that the world would not be destroyed through judgment. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, your righteousness in accordance with your judgments is like the mountains of God and the great deep. Alternatively, your righteousness that you have done for Noah caused his ark to rest upon the mountains, as it is written, and the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. Your judgments are like the great deep refers to the judgments you rendered upon the generation of the flood, as it is written, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and after all this devastation, you saved humans and animals alike, O Lord. When did God remember Noah? God remembered Noah is that the memory of the righteous is a blessing. And Noah is the righteous person mentioned in the verse. Noah was a righteous man. So what is the memory of Noah? That God remembered him for a blessing, as it is said, and God blessed Noah, and so on. But the name of the wicked shall rot, referring to the generation of the flood that rotted away in the waters, as it is said, he blotted out, and so on, and so forth. The word blotted out is also used in Exodus 17:14 in the phrase, I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek. God remembered Noah. The righteous man knows the soul of his animal, etc. You know, the righteous one of the world knows the soul of his animal even in its death. Even when he is angry, the attribute of the Holy One, blessed be he, is not like the attribute of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, the rulers like Caesar, when a nation rebels against it, it sends a legion to destroy it. And it does it with great destruction and kills the good and the bad. There is no difference between saying, so-and-so was righteous, so they spared him, and they killed everyone. But the Holy One, blessed be he, is not like this. When the generation angers him, he has compassion on them. There is only one righteous person. He knows him and is saved. As it says, the righteous man knows the soul of his animal in its death. And so it says, the Lord is good as a stronghold in the day of trouble. The mercies of the wicked are cruel. These are the people of the generation of the flood, who were more cruel than the flood waters. Our rabbis said, when the waters rose up upon them, as it is written, for the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and they saw the fountains rising above them, what did they do? They had many children, and each of them would take his son and put him on the abyss and press him down with stones, and the waters would rise over them. And again, when the waters increased, they would take other children of theirs and place them on the abyss. See how the mercies of the wicked are cruel. And how do we know that they did this? Because Job says, may his compassion be forgotten, his compassion for his children. And what did the Holy One, blessed be he, do to them? He sent a flood upon them from above and broke them, as it is written, and it broke apart like a tree rising from the earth. Rabbi Berechiah said the harshness of the generation of the flood was greater than any other generation, and their stature was higher. If not for the fact that God punished them from above, they could not have been destroyed, as it is said. If we had not been left like a few survivors. So how was this done? When the Lord saw that they did not die in the depths below, he sent down fire from above and burned them, as it is written. Fire broke out against. Psalms 78:21. Once they saw that they were lost, they sought to overturn the ark. What did God, the Lord God, do to them? He encircled them with lions and killed and ate them, as it is said, and the Lord shut him in. And there was no closing in except with lions, as it is written. The God sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions. Ephraim is a dear son to me, it is written. For I was a son to my father. And come and see that even though the children of Israel are a thousand, thousand and a myriad myriads, they are not important before the omnipresent except like an only son, as it is written. The Lord your God has multiplied you. When they were in Egypt, what is written? And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Fruitful, like Adam and Eve, they increased. And they multiplied more than fish, and multiplied more than the blessing of Noah and his sons. And they grew strong. They grew strong from the strength of the patriarchs, exceedingly, exceedingly. There was a woman who gave birth to 60 myriads at one time. Like fish that gave birth to 60 myriads, so too they. And Jacob blessed them. Let them grow into a multitude. Just as the fish were blessed, so too were they. And Ezekiel says, as the produce of the field, so you have multiplied. All these were not important before him except like only one. As it is written, my firstborn son is Israel. And it is written, let my son go that he may serve me. Therefore it says, for I was a son to my father, just like a son of a man when he is a small child. If he sins, his father does not remove him because he is small. But when he grows up and stands on his own two feet, if he sins, the father removes him. Similarly, Israel, even when they sin unintentionally, it is counted to them as if they were like small children, as it is written. When Israel was a youth, then I loved him. Ephraim is a dear son to me. Ephraim is a dear son to me, as it says in Hosea 11:3, I taught Ephraim to walk. The Holy One, blessed be he, said, I carried him and held him by his arms. When Jacob took him between his arms, that is, it is said, and Joseph took them both. Now what is written afterwards, Genesis 48:8? And Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? What did Jacob see that he asked? Who are these? He already knew them, as it is said. And now your two sons, rather, our father Jacob foresaw that a descendant of Ephraim, namely Jeroboam, the son of Nebat the Ephraimite, would make two golden calves, as it is said in 1 Kings 11:26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite, took his stand. He would then say, these are your gods, O Israel. Therefore Jacob said, who are these? And Joseph replied, these are my sons. What did Joseph do? He removed his crown from his head and released his belt, or his girdle, before Jacob, as it is said. And Joseph took them both and said to them, do you see what sins they will commit? Jacob answered, I do not. Once he heard this, Joseph said to him, bring them to me and I will bless them. Immediately, Joseph took them both. And Israel stretched out his right hand. When Joseph saw this, he was displeased, that it is said in Genesis 48:17. And Joseph saw that his father was placing his right hand. He said to him, do you think that I have no strength left in my old age? By your life, I still have as much strength as they do. But as his father refused, and from Manasseh fell David, etc., etc. However, his brothers, etc. This is Yehoshua, who stands for Ephraim. And it says, from the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, son of Nun. Hosea, son of Nun. Who erected the wall, and all the nations of the world look and see. Therefore, and his seed shall come, it shall become a multitude of nations. Well, the Holy One, blessed be he. I have seen how good Ephraim is. Take them on my arms. When the Holy One, blessed be He, saying, bring them to me, I was there, and revealed a mystery to Jacob about Ephraim and Jeroboam, although they did not know that I had healed them. Ephraim, the beloved son, is dear to me. This son of Ephraim is dear to me. God said, all of Israel is called by the name of Ephraim. As it is said, for I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. So in many places the Holy One, blessed be He, says, Ephraim is dear to me. They are held in high esteem before me. Our rabbis said that even if Pharaoh had demanded 100 talents of silver for every Jewish soul, the Holy One, blessed be He, would have given it to him. And if he had not, he would have taken vengeance on their behalf, as it is said, lest you try to purchase protection from the nations. Deuteronomy 7:2. And when they made the golden calf, the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to do to them what He had done to the generation of the flood, as it is said, let me alone, so that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And in the generation of the flood it is written, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And He was speaking to Moses about how to destroy them. But once Moses said to him, remember Abraham. The Holy One, blessed be He, remembered and said, if so, then I will return. Immediately, the Lord relented from the evil that He had planned to do to His people. And the ministers of the nations came close to Him and said, if you disappoint us, you have said that you would blot out the name from under heaven the generations of the flood who corrupted their ways. As it is said, and the Lord God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. The ministers of the nations said, they did the same thing. You told Moses to go down, for your people have become corrupt. Yet you do not do what you say. God said to them, no. And Moses said, the Lord also listened to me at that time. Even though I said that I would return to you, from whom do I have anything to fear, and who will absolve me? As it is said, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. And why is Ephraim called my son, my firstborn, in Jeremiah 31:9? Because I said to Moses, I said to Moshe, let me go, let me alone. But I remembered him and remembered his ancestors and forgave Israel for their sake. Therefore, Habakkuk said, I have heard your report and am awed, O Lord. You are listening to the Pale Horse Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Sabatier. This is the Agath Bereshit, Chapter 6. A prayer of David. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. In the scriptures it is said that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Proverbs 15:8 refers to Moshe and David and to the Messiah, HaMashiach. Regarding Moshe, it is written, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Regarding David, it is written, a prayer of David. Concerning the Messiah, it is written, prayer of the poor man when he is faint. And the prayer of the upright is his delight. Although all three pray, David prays with artistry. How can one hear? Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, until when will you pray? Say what you need, for you said, my righteous plea. I swear by your life that for your sake, for the sake of one of the things that I have mentioned before you, my vindication will come from you. Why did you say, if the leader sins? Leviticus 4:22. A leader over whom there is no ruler except for God. Since over a ruler there is no judge except for you, My judgment comes before you. David was a great artist. When he asked something from the Holy One, blessed be he played music to him, as if to say, he delved his thoughts like those skilled in the wisdom of the microcosm. Baba Bhatra, Baba Kama, 103b. Deep wells of understanding. He asked first about the easy things, and only afterwards about the difficult things. Why was David similar to a person who asked to borrow a wheat barrel from the lender, and the lender said to him, please lend me a karab barrel, because I am in difficult situations? David replied, come and take. We will take the barrels together. And the lender then asked David to lend him a barley barrel and leave a karab barrel instead. David said, come and take. We will take the barrels together. The lender then asked David to make him a wheat barrel and lend him a karab and barley under it. David replied, take it. But who caused him first to ask about the easy things and only then about the difficult things? The answer is from the verse, judgment fell for David. The Lord has heard my righteousness. That is, first the easy things and then the difficult things came before him in a straight path. As it is written, your eyes will see what is straight before you. God replied to him, and I will act, for it is written, behold, I will plead your cause and take vengeance for you, and I will contend with him that contends with you. End of story. This statement earlier is found in the Talmud Bavli, Tractate Baba Batra 93b, and it discusses the power of a Jewish leader or a Nasi who has no earthly ruler above him, only God. The passage states that since there is no one to judge or govern the Nasi except for God, then his judgment must be considered just and valid. It then goes on to praise King David as a great artist, since he would deepen his thoughts and connect with God while playing music. There is a Hebrew phrase that is translated, since there is no ruler above him except for God. This is emphasizing the unique position of a Nasi who is accountable only to God. This phrase in Hebrew, my judgment comes from you, implying that God is the only authority over the Nasi. His decisions are divinely inspired. The passage then shifts to discuss King David and his artistic talents. There is another phrase in Hebrew which says, David was a great artist. And the following phrase, when he would seek something from God, then he would play music. Part of this phrase refers to David's musical instruments, but what it means is he would play so deeply that the ground would shake. This passage highlights David's unique talents and his spiritual connection with God. Are you currently in your daily life are you playing your music to God so that the ground shakes? Are you so invested in your walk with God so deeply that the ground shakes? Well, if you're not today, I encourage you to lay hold of those promises, to ask like you actually want to know the answer, to knock like you actually want to be let in, and to seek like you actually want to find. Go out from the ark. In the scriptures it is said, I do obey the king's orders and do not rush into uttering an oath by God. But the Holy Spirit said to Israel, I adjure you that if the kingdom decrees something upon you, do not rebel against it and anything it decrees upon you. But if it decrees to abolish the Torah, the commandments of the Sabbath, do not listen to them. As it says, I am the king's servant, keep his word for every matter. However, regarding the oath of God, do not hurry to leave his presence. Just as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did when Nebuchadnezzar set up the statue, they were told, "What do you say that you are casting us into the fiery furnace and the Lord will not save us? Whether he saves us or not, we will not bow down to the image, as it says, but if not, let it be known to you." He said to them, "You are rebels." And they replied, "Well, the truth is clear. As it says, there is a way that is straight before a person." They said to him, "We do not care about Nebuchadnezzar. As it says, we will not be concerned with your words." They said to him, "Whatever you decree upon us, we will do, and we will listen to you. And we will not rebel against you, except for Yom Kippur of our God. Say to him, 'I do.' Obey the king's orders, leave his presence. Do not tarry in the dangerous situation, for he can do anything he pleases." But when Nebuchadnezzar heard this, he became angry, as it says, that Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And he threw them bound into the furnace, and it says, and they cast them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. When they descended, they lifted up their eyes and said before the Lord, "O Elah Shemaiah, O Master of the universe, it is revealed and known before you that we did not trust in anything except your great name. As it says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory." At this point, all the languages gathered together, as it says. Then the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, and the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered before the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And immediately, the angels requested to descend and release them. But the Holy One of Israel, blessed be he, said to them, "Do these angels descend on account of any one of you? Rather, they descend on the account of my name. I will descend and save them. As it said, he executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord frees the bound. Just as Moshe freed the Israelites from the furnace. And the Holy One, blessed be he, removed the furnace and raised it up and leveled it with the ground, which had been low and deep. Once the angel descended and said to them, 'Go out from here.' Then the Holy One of Israel, blessed be he, released them and performed miracles for them. He leveled the furnace with the ground, and they went out. They said to him, 'We will not go out without the permission of Nebuchadnezzar, lest the people say that we fled from this furnace.' 'I do obey the king's orders. We were thrown in here by his permission. We will go out by his permission.' Once Nebuchadnezzar came and saw them, he was amazed and began to shout, 'Come out!' As it is said, 'The king cried out to bring in the astrologers.' Once the furnace had become level with the ground, they went out. They said to the angel, 'Now we will go out.' As it is said, then they went out." From whom did they learn this? It was from Noah. When he entered the ark, he did so with the permission of the Holy One, blessed be he, Elijah Shemaiah, as it is said, "And the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household." Once the earth dried up and the ark rested, as it is said, the ark rested in Genesis 8 and 4. His children said to him, "Let us go out from here." And he said to them, "God forbid. We entered with the permission of the Holy One, blessed be he, the Elah Shemaiah, and we will go out with his permission." But once the Holy One, blessed be he, heard this, he immediately spoke to Noah and said, "Go out of the ark." Therefore it is said, "I do obey my king's orders." Are you obeying your king's orders this morning? If not, I urge you to go out of the ark and obey your king's orders. Thank you for listening to the Pale Horse Podcast. I'm your host, Cathal Sabatier. Noah left the ark, and the scriptures say, "The righteous will come out of trouble, but the wicked will be trapped by their words. Proverbs 12:13. By transgression of the lips, evil is ensnared, but the righteous escape from trouble. This refers to the generation of the flood, who sinned only with their mouths, as it is said. And they said to God, "Turn away from us, for what can the Almighty do to us? What good is it to pray to him, and what profit have we if we will beseech him?" What was their punishment? Evil ensnared them, and he erased the whole universe. But the righteous will come out of trouble, referring to Noah, as it is said, Noah was a righteous man, and he was blameless in his age. He emerged from the ark. I have faith that you all will emerge from your arks. Noah left the ark, David said. He brought me out of the prison to give thanks to your name. When Noah was inside the ark, he prayed, as it said, "For this let everyone who is godly pray to you." God said to him, "It is a decree of providence that you should complete 12 months, and if you do not complete them, you will not leave, as it is stated. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have answered you, to bind the captives, and so on, go forth." They were forbidden from marital relations, for when the world is in distress, a person must restrain himself from procreation. Thus Joseph also acted when he saw the two famines were about to come, as it is said, "And to Joseph were born two sons before the year of the famine came." Similarly, Noah, his sons, the animals, and the beast did not need to procreate, as God said to him when he entered the ark, "You and all your household enter into the ark." And it is written, "Noah and his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives were with him, the males separate and the females separate." This can be compared to a king who went out to battle the barbarians and decreed that the baths should not be opened and the mint should not be struck until I return from battle. When he returned from the battle in peace, he decreed that the bath should be opened and the mint should be struck. "All that I destroy, I build." Similarly, when the flood came, there was no need to procreate, as it is said, "Go forth from the ark," etc. Well, therefore, when the earth was dry, God said, "Go out of the ark. This is why it is said, and he brought me out of the prison." The Lord's wrath I will bear, for I have sinned against him. Micah 7:9. Just as when a young lion roars and animals tremble, so too does the Holy One, blessed be he, roar. As it is said, "The lion has roared, who will not fear?" The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Come and see, how stubborn is this nation. When the Holy One, blessed be he, said to Moshe, "I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites." Moshe said before him, "Master of the universe, Elah Shemaiah, you send an angel to all these nations, but not to us?" The Holy One, blessed be he, said to him, "I swear by your life, if I sent an angel, when would I destroy them? As it is said, and what time do I send an angel, and when do I destroy them?" It is said elsewhere, "He roars like a lion," referring to the Holy One, blessed be he. However, regarding Israel, it is said, "And his will is like the dew upon the grass. Just as dew brings life to the world, so too does the Holy One, blessed be he, come like dew to Israel. Fresh every morning, as it is said, I will be like the dew to Israel. Even when he is angry with them, he is still upon them like dew, as it is said, and his will is like dew upon the grass." Israel said to him, "For this reason we cannot stand." For this reason we can stand, rather. Because you make yourself like dew to us. As it is said, "And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people like dew from the Lord." Another thing about it, "I will express the anger of the Lord," as it is written, "For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen." The nations of the world said to Israel, "You say, I will be angry with the Lord," but it is written, Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. Who can withstand his anger? No one can withstand his messengers, but you can withstand his anger. The sea was his messenger, yet generations of people stood against it. As it is written, you who have made the sea and its waves roar. The flood was his messenger, but it did not prevail against the generation of the flood. As it is written, he wiped out all living things. Fire and brimstone were his messengers, but they did not prevail against the people of Sodoma. As it is written, the Lord caused sulfur and fire to rain down on Sodoma and Gomorrah. The locust was his messenger, but the Pharaoh could not withstand it. As it is written, the locust came up. The stars were his messengers, but Sisera could not withstand them. As it is written, the stars fought from heaven. The angel was his messenger, but Sennacherib could not withstand him. As it is written, and the angel of the Lord went out. If no one can stand and withstand his messengers, and yet you can withstand his anger, why do you say, I will carry the Lord's anger? I will take this like fire into my bosom. The Israelites said to themselves, why can't we withstand his anger when our messengers have prevailed against his? But the answer is, the sea was the Lord's messenger, and yet it split from Moshe, and the Israelites took cross on dry land. As it is written, the Israelites went on dry ground. And so the sea saw and fled. The Jordan did not dry up for Joshua. As it is written, when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. The angel said to Jacob, the angel sent Jacob, could not defeat him. As it is said, he struggled with the angel and overcame him. The sun and the moon did not stand still for Joshua, as it is written. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Yashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. The angel sent to Aaron did not stop him. As it is said, he stood between the living and the dead. Just as our messengers have triumphed over his messenger. Similarly, Phinehas subdued his anger, as it is said, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my anger away. Therefore it is said, I will carry the Lord's wrath. Why can we withstand his anger? Because it comes upon us with mercy. As it is said, I will carry the Lord's wrath. And it's written, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Eliah, Elah, Samaiah. The sea did not stand up to his rebuke, as it is said, he rebukes the sea and dries it up. And likewise in the days of Jonah, the sea was angry but stood still, as it is said, the sea was calmed and was quiet. But as for me, because he comes upon me with mercy, I can accept his anger, and therefore, it is said, I will carry the Lord's wrath. Pick up your cross and bear it. Try to be a good person today. And when you fail, just know that if you cry out to God, just as he rebukes the sea and dried it up for the Israelites to cross on dry land, pray to Hashem that the storm in your mind will be quieted. And I pray that you accept his anger along with his mercy, and that we both together will carry the Lord's wrath. Thank you for listening to the Pebbleworth Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Sabatier.